Hi, this is Dr. Peter Osborne with Gluten Free Society, and today I have a really special guest interview. Lewis Howes is the author of the upcoming, and I might add, very, very visionary new book where he talks all about how to become a better person, how to live life to its fullest, just how to be great. The School of Greatness is the name of his new book, and I'm going to highly encourage you to go and pick up a copy of it. Lewis, thanks so much for taking time out. I know you're very, very busy schedule with your book coming out here just in a few weeks.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on. It means a lot to me.
You're welcome. So, you know, we were talking before the interview a little bit, and, you know, one of the things you mentioned to me is you kind of have this experience going gluten-free. Can you share just a little of that with our audience? Because I'd like to have them connect with you on that level.
Sure, yeah. I used to play arena football in the U.S., and I got injured, and I kept eating the way that I was eating when I was training for a couple years after the injury. I kept eating like a professional athlete, although I wasn't working out as much. I was in a full arm cast for 6 months, sleeping on my sister's couch for a year and a half, trying to figure out what was I going to do next in my life. I was done with the football career. That was my dream, and it was over. So I was pretty much just eating whatever I wanted because I wanted to feel better about myself in one way, but I didn't really know how to eat any other way. That's how I lived my whole life, is just kind of eating whatever to get enough calories in and enough protein and whatever, just have enough energy and fuel to put on weight for football. So I wasn't the healthiest in the terms of how I ate, but I was, effective in my results as an athlete. So when I transitioned into the entrepreneurial world and I started an online business, I had went from Ohio to New York City. And this was about 2.5 years after my injury, I'd moved to New York City. And I realized that I'm a pretty big guy. I'm 6'4", and I was 220 in playing arena football. And then as I got to New York, I got on the scale one day, and I was 254, 255, that range. And I remember saying that, what has happened to me? You know, where have I gone? I remember looking at photos of my face and just seeing how round and fat it was. And it's because I was addicted to sugar and gluten and just bad foods. And so I said, okay, enough is enough. I was working out still a few days a week. I was, actively walking around the city everywhere. But I was just like, I'd gained 30-something pounds. So I essentially said, okay, I'm going to go on a challenge. I'm going to do no sugar, no gluten for 30 days, and I lost 30 pounds in those first 30 days, and I continued on it. I felt so great without the gluten, so I continued for another month without doing gluten. I had a little bit of sugar in that second month, but I did no gluten the next month, and I remember the moment where I realized how powerful gluten was to the body and its negative effects, when after this 2 months, I had gotten down to like 220-something, back to this weight. I felt really lean, healthy, energized. And I went out to celebrate with a couple of buddies of mine. I was like, okay, I'm going to go have this huge pasta dinner. And I remember I went out to have this huge pasta dinner. It was so amazingly delicious. I can remember how amazing it tasted, right? And then literally, as we're driving away, this is in Los Angeles at the time. I was in out in L.A. for the weekend to see a friend. And we drove up to Mulholland Drive. For anyone that's been to Los Angeles, we drove up to go look over the valley and see kind of all of the outskirts of L.A. to just have a nice little hang after our dinner. It's probably like 10 o'clock at night. And I literally could not get out of the car. My friends were out there just like looking over the balcony view over the valley. And I was laid back in the car passing out because I was so exhausted and tired and just sick feeling, and I couldn't even get out of the car of the way it made me feel. So I remember that effect of how negative of a result it gave me. And I still haven't mastered being completely free of gluten, but I definitely have a much minimal amounts of it, and it's not on a daily basis. And I'm aware of the negative effects when it happens.
Well, that's a great story. I've heard that very similar story countless times. One of your big eight kind of principles highlighted in your book was master. One of them was master your body. I think it was the principle number five.
Yep.
And so, you know, let's kind of go into that, because mastering your body, I think part of that's got to be nutrition. Part of that's got to be exercise. Kind of give us your take on that piece.
Absolutely. I feel like if we want to be great at anything in our lives, whether have a great business, great in relationships, giving back to the world, our health, emotional, physical, mental, needs to be on point, needs to be at the top that it can be at all times. Otherwise, just scientifically, I mean, you know this more than anyone as a doctor, you have this excess weight, whether it be the physical weight, the emotional weight, the mental weight, that literally weighs you down physically and holds you back from having the energy you need to be present in relationships, to have a focus and clarity during presentations and running your business and serving the world. So just based on science, you know, if you have excess weight, you're going to be held back. And if you have emotional baggage weight, that's going to be holding you back as well. So constantly learning how to grow emotional health, mental health, physical health to get better every single day. And I'm not talking about being perfect and having a six pack and, you know, checking everything you eat every day and tracking it all. I'm not talking about it being obsessive. I'm talking about being aware of where you're at and understanding the consequences and the prices you pay for every action you take, but also living a fun life as well, and learning how to enjoy health and making it a lifestyle, not a chore.
Yeah, well put. Well put. I like that. You know, we get so imbalanced, especially in the U.S. where, you know, we have this connotation that, you know, taking time to smell the roses or take a nap just because we're tired is actually considered lazy,
right?
Instead of potentially healthy and just, you know, establishing balance. And I love what you've done, because you've taken what you're passionate about, and you want to help people find that same thing, what they're passionate about, and turn that into a life that's full of hope, that's full of vision,
exactly.
That matches, that's ethical, that's moral, that just helps them be just a better person and serve the world better.
Exactly.
And on that note, how did you get into that? I mean, that's a really good question in terms of how do you go from being, you know, a professional athlete to injury? I mean, how do you go from that to picking up the pieces and being so positive, and kind of what got you into this journey?
Well, you know, originally it wasn't all positive. It was a year and a half sleeping on my sister's couch, questioning why this had happened to me, wondering, asking, you know, why did I get injured? Why couldn't I continue to go follow my dreams of being an athlete? And it was a lot of self-doubt and questioning at first. Then what changed it all for me was when I started to be aware of everything and said, okay, here's where I'm at now. I'm 24 years old. My dream is over, but I've still got a long life to live. Now, what else do I want to do? What else inspires me? What fills me up? What gets me going in the morning? What do I love to do still, even if I can't play professional football? And I started to focus on those things. And in the early ages, it was literally, I just wanted to learn how other people became successful. So I started reaching out to CEOs of companies and former pro athletes to ask them questions about how they became successful. And I realized that building relationships was really fun for me. And helping other people solve their challenges and their problems was fun for me. And then as I got into the business world, I really loved the creativity of entrepreneurship, creating products and programs, launching something, branding, design. I love the whole process of it, selling, marketing, promotions, everything. And after a while, I'd kind of built up a business. I'd sold my business for seven figures, and I was in transition, and I was just trying to figure out what I wanted to do after that even. And that's when, you know, the School of Greatness came about. For 4-5 years, I was creating courses online, building an online business, and realized that I wanted to create an even bigger impact in the world, not just teaching people about business, but really how to live a great life in all areas. Because as I was doing this podcast, I was realizing that the listeners would ask me questions about emotional health and mental health and how to get out of a rut and how to find a mentor and all these different topics about just living a great life in general. And so that's how this all came about.
So you found passion in helping other people, and then there was a common theme in the backdrop, and you ran with it, and you've
exactly
been very successful in doing that. I love that concept. I mean, on that same note, I started Gluten Free Society in 2010 online. I have private practice, so I get to help people every day, but I put that together more as a tool for people who didn't come to see me to be able to tap in and use it. And it's just been a huge passion and a huge area of success for me. And I love that you're able to take and help somebody find and tap into their own passion and be able to share their passion with the world and be able to potentially make a great living at it. And so many people dredge going to work, right? They drive right through traffic to get to work. They work a job they don't like. They're in an environment that's, you know, maybe not the most conducive to their overall health. And they just feel lost. When a person's in that spot, what are kind of some of your first tips for helping a person find, you know, their vision or creating that initial vision to really be able to just be greater in life?
Yeah, the first thing I would say is you really got to write down, you know, I look at a lot of my examples now from what I learned in sports. And the great sports teams that were on did something really interesting at the beginning of the season. They made us all craft our team vision. And as a team, we would figure out what is it we want to achieve as a team by the end of the year. And each week, what are our goals? So we would write it out and brainstorm as a team what we wanted to achieve. It would be up on the whiteboard or the chalkboard in the locker room. So every day we came in there and we saw our vision. We knew exactly what we were all going after. So there was a common theme. I think most people don't even take the time. That may sound very simple and like, oh yeah, I get that. But most people, if you're listening, do you have somewhere a vision for your life right now? Do you have somewhere written down, posted on your wall, a vision of how you want to live your life this year, this month, this week, a mission? Do you have any of that written down? If you don't, then you're probably going to question what is all this happening, or why am I reacting, or why am I not getting what I want? It's because you haven't clearly stated what you wanted. And again, that may sound simple, just clearly saying what you want, but it's so effective. So what I tell people is to first take out a piece of paper and do an exercise that I call the perfect day exercise. Now, you're never going to achieve a perfect day, and greatness is not about being perfect. It's about giving your best. So it should really be about the greatest day ever exercise, but I call it the perfect day. And what you want to do is simply write down the vision of a perfect day, what it would look like, what it would feel like, who you'd be spending your time with, where you'd be traveling, and what your environment would be. So literally from the morning you wake up, write down the feelings and experiences and the people you're spending time with. In your breakfast, what are you doing? In the afternoon, what are you doing? Nighttime, what are you doing? The things you would do that literally would make you feel like that is the greatest day I've ever had in my life. Write that down. Then the second part of this exercise is to, you know, it's one thing to dream and to visualize and think about things you want, but really the key to getting what you want is having great execution. And one of my mentors, a famous inventor, said that there's no such thing as $1 million idea, only $1 million executions. And it's the same thing with the dreams. There's no such thing as an amazing dream that you're going to live unless you're able to execute it the right way. So in the second part of this exercise, I recommend creating an itinerary. So in football, we would get on the great teams, we would get an itinerary in our locker before we showed up, before every practice. It would be there in our locker. So we knew exactly every 10 to 15 minutes what we were focusing on for the day. And that set us up to win. We were grounded. We knew what was coming. We could prepare for it. And we were very clear on our timings of what we needed to work on, as opposed to just showing up to practice and saying, okay, what are we going to do now today to be better? We planned beforehand, before the day started, on what we were going to execute on. So write an itinerary for your day from the moment you wake up to the moment you go to sleep, how you're going to fit that perfect day in your itinerary, and start working towards that day every single day moving forward.
So the first step is just to visualize, just to have a plan for what that perfect day, what it is for you, and that's different for different people, obviously.
Exactly.
And then the second step is to try to piece together how you could incorporate that particular day into the lifestyle that you currently have.
That's it. And you may not be able to achieve it right away because you may have a job or a career or obligations. But if you could start putting an hour of that perfect day into your everyday, whether it be the morning part of it, the evening part of it, and then every day or every week or month moving forward, try to add a little more to that, that you can and navigate your daily life so that you can live that way, you're going to start experiencing that you have one of the greatest lives in the world.
Awesome. That's awesome. So, and I've, that's not a message that I have. I mean, I've heard a lot of people say, you know, you first have to have a plan, right, before you know where you're going.
Mm-hmm.
Talk a little bit about visualization, because I know that's something else that you're a big fan of, is visualizing the activities and the actions so that they become a reality.
Yeah, for me, you know, what I'll do is before anything big that I have, any big moments, any speaking gigs, or, you know, I play with the USA national handball teams, or any before any big international competitions, anything at all, speeches, whatever it may be, presentations, webinars, podcasts, I'll visualize exactly the results I want to achieve from those moments. For weeks beforehand, I'll think about it in the morning, I'll think about it at night, I'll dream about it, I'll watch videos of other people doing it to see how I want to emulate them, and I'll dream and visualize exactly the way it's going to happen. And I also think about all the things that could potentially happen wrong as well to prepare myself to overcome any adversity that comes my way in those moments. So it's not always going to be the perfect setting and perfect situation in everything you do in life. There are going to be things that other people do or things that happen that are out of your control. And it's learning to be able to navigate and flow without being distracted or held back from those situations you can't control, which sets you up for great things as well.
So, I mean, the application here, I could very well see somebody who's going gluten-free as being a big point of adversity in their life, a big challenge. You talk a lot about adversity. What, you know, you only have two options or two choices when adversity comes up. What are those? Can you talk a little bit about those?
Yeah, when adversity comes up, you know, you got to look at it as feedback. For me, I look at it as information, as data that, okay, something's happening that's not the way I want it to go. It's not easy. Something in my life happened. Something emotionally has happened. And I take it in as feedback. It's a lesson. It's learning. And when you become aware of these situations that are happening and you understand that all great people in the world have achieved any great thing in sports or business or science or whatever it may be, they've all gone through adversities. And if you ask them, would you take any of that back? They would say, absolutely not. Even though some of it was terrible and horrible and horrific and emotionally sad and traumatic, they would all say without those experiences, they wouldn't have had the inspiration, the passion, the purpose, the reason to be where they are today. And so you got to look at it as an opportunity, as your advantage, as lessons and feedback for inspiration moving forward, or feedback if something's happening or you feel like you're failing at something. Look at it as, well, what you're doing just isn't working yet. So now it's time to figure out what does work so you can move forward.
Yeah, amen to that. Let's kind of switch gears a little bit, because we've talked a little bit about mindset, and I think mindset is extremely important. But you know what you mentioned at the very beginning of this interview, you said physical, mental, and emotional, and it's funny that you mentioned that, because there's a drawing that we use in functional medicine. It's called the Triangle of Health, and that drawing, it's a triangle. In the core of this triangle, we have our DNA, which we can't change what our DNA is, but we can manipulate the way our DNA behaves based on our physical, our chemical, and our mental well-being. And so, you know, you mentioned that. We've talked a little bit about the mental and the mindset and the visualization. Let's go into physical. You know, what are some of the things that you do on a day-to-day basis to be successful? Because you're an athlete.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you keep your body in good shape. Talk a little bit about that premise and what you do to maintain that.
Yeah, for me, it all depends on the season of my life. And I work in seasons, I guess, because as an athlete, it's kind of like, you know, you can't train at the highest level of intensity every single day for your life. Maybe you can, but I don't think it's the wisest thing to do. I think you need to take days off, and you need to taper off at times. You know, if Tom Brady played a football game every single week for the last 15 years, he'd probably be dead, but he takes an off season. He has bye weeks. They give them days off during the week sometimes. You know, they don't just push them to the max every single day. And for years I did CrossFit, you know, 3 to 5 times a week. Lately I've been doing a lot more just cross training where I'm doing, you know, HIIT workouts, high intensity training workouts and interval training and adding cardio and running and just playing pickup basketball because I'm kind of in an off season right now for my USA handball team where I used to be training very intensely with lifting and resistance training and sprints on a consistent basis and hill training and things like that. But now it's more about maintaining my levels of energy and my health in general so that I can perform well in my business with my book launch, have enough energy and not be exhausted all the time. So it's a different season right now for me.
I think you mentioned some really key points there in that, you know, so many people get into a regimen or get into a habit and they, you know, they have this repetitive type of behavior and they don't take into account, you know, their environment, what else is going on around them. You know, some people, you know, they train and they think that they have to train just as hard every day, 365 days a year, lest they lose, you know, an advantage or lose strength or whatever it is that they're training for. So what you're kind of saying is kind of modify. I think it kind of even goes back a little bit to that visualization is visualize that perfect day. Visualize what exercise you need to be doing now based on what's going on in your life as opposed to just going whole hog all the time.
Exactly.
Yeah. Let's talk. So from that aspect, you know, so you can you share with us? So you've got a perfect day. Obviously, you've done the visualization. Exercise, obviously a part of that. You mentioned handball, and I've heard from other people that you're kind of a handball Jedi. How do you get in? How do you go from, you know, from football, which is like your man's man sport, to something like handball? And not to say that handball is not a physical game. I've certainly played racquetball and games that are similar, but how do you go from football to handball? What got you interested?
You know, when I was playing, when I was sleeping on my sister's couch after I got done playing arena football, I was kind of bummed out that my sports career was over. And I wanted to figure out if there was a sport that I could still play at a very high world-class level. And after I got my cast off, I was watching the 2008 Beijing Olympics. And one night, they showed this highlight of team handball. And I was like, what is this sport? I'd never seen it before. It looked so fascinating and fast and exciting that I was like, that's the sport for me. That's the sport I could be great at. So I went on a two-year research binge and moved to New York City 2 years later to go learn the sport from the national champions. And 9 months after I started picking it up, I made the USA national team and I've been with the team for the last five years now. It's been an incredible journey.
So definitely then something that obviously, you got to have a pretty good skill level to be able to play, a pretty good physical fitness level to be able to play. But
exactly,
a high level of enjoyment for you then to get that deep into it.
It's a lot of enjoyment, but also my vision is to, you know, represent my country and to play at a high level and be active and show people that hey, you can still chase your dreams even at 32. You can still go after what you want, and I'm living proof. And so It's not, you know, my life is not just to show other people or to only help other people achieve their dreams. It's to go after mine as well. And I think that's important for everyone that we should constantly be going after our dreams because that's actually going to serve the most people around us as inspiration for them to do it as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And the greatest teachers are doers and living by experience. I mean, you're only 32 and you've achieved so much already. Some people might say, oh, you know, he's a freak of nature. There's just no way I could be successful. What do you have as a response to somebody who might give you that excuse from, you know, not being great themselves?
Yeah, I would say I'm definitely not a freak of nature, but maybe I have a mindset that's a little different than most people, where I'm willing to do whatever it takes to go after my dreams. And I was never the biggest, fastest, or strongest athlete, and still today I'm not the biggest, fastest, strongest on the team, but I have what I think a lot of people lack, which is hustle. And I'm willing to go after the loose balls of life and sports and business all the time because I know that's an advantage that most people don't do. They're not willing to dive on the ball and sacrifice their body in their life. And they want to take it the easy way out. And so for me, I'm willing to do whatever it takes for my vision because it excites me and I have a powerful reason why I want to achieve it.
Which goes back to visualization and becoming a part of self-actualization.
Exactly.
You mentioned your sister's couch, you know, 4 or 5 times so far. I mean, it sounds like it was a really good place in your life for therapy, at least to try to figure out the next step. Were there other great lessons that you learned, you know, sitting on your sister's couch that you haven't talked about?
Oh man, humility. I mean, I thought I was like the king of the world, playing in front of 20,000 people, you know, every weekend, and felt invincible and Superman. And when I wasn't, it was like a great check to my ego and to my, you know, humility to look at things differently and be grateful for everything that I do have, and to show up in a different way. And I think I kind of just let my ego think I was invincible a lot, where it didn't serve me.
Yeah, certainly. Sometimes those biggest challenges in life, those biggest drawbacks or drops in life, deliver some of the greatest lessons. And as you said, the humility of being able to rise so high and fall so far, and then be able to still get up and achieve and accomplish so much more.
Exactly.
Tell me a little bit about, you have this online course, the School of Greatness. You know, it's, tell me a little bit about that. Like what got you involved in creating that, and tell the audience a little bit more about what it entails.
Yeah, the School of Greatness Academy or the School of Greatness podcast?
Well, the School of Greatness Academy. Yeah. Well, both. Let's just go into both.
Well, I created the podcast originally as a passion of mine. It was a dream to really connect with the most inspiring people in the world and learn how they became great and how they got to the top. I'm obsessed with peak performance and, you know, learning from those that have reached the top. And as I was doing this process of this podcast, people started asking me, you know, can you create a training on this? Can you give us, you know, more content to show us really how to achieve more results in our business and our life and our health? And since they all asked for it, I said, okay, let's create an online community of all the listeners that want to really step up their life and their business. And that's where the School of Greatness Academy was born.
And so is it an ongoing school? Is it a certain period of time and somebody graduates? I mean, kind of,
exactly.
What does that entail?
We started out as a 6-month program where they went through a monthly curriculum, and at the end they would graduate. And it's all online, and there was action plans and homework that they had to go after each month and turn in. But it was more about, you know, homework of life and business, not like schoolwork. So it was really more of a challenge. Like, we want to challenge you to do these certain things each month. And now it's evolved more. It's going to be a 3-month program because we realize that people have, you know, short attention spans. So we're making it a little bit shorter, focusing more on mindset, organizing your life, finding mentors, building relationships, and how to make extra income around your passion as well.
So it sounds like, you know, everything that your book is about, but just more
exactly.
Personalized, more
exactly
more
on steroids. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, you've interviewed people, I mean, like Tony Robbins, you've interviewed Arianna Huffington of the Huffington Post. You know, I say, how do you get somebody like that on the phone or on a podcast? You know, and I say that because I want you to share how you were able to do that, because a lot of people are like, you know, this guy, he's talking to these people who are ultra millionaires, billionaires. You know, that's not me. I can't do that. Again, going back to that kind of self-defeating type of attitude. How do you go after and successfully get people of that caliber to come on your podcast?
I mean, I was a guy on a couch 7.5 years ago, my sister's couch, in debt, 3 credit cards, didn't have any money, didn't have a job, or didn't have a business, and didn't have a college degree. So what I would say is, it's taken years of building relationships, hustling, going for the loose balls of life, adding value to these individuals for years without asking for anything in return. Then as I've built my platform and I've built my audience, I have something of great value to give in return to these individuals when they have a book coming out or a mission they want to spread. And so because I've built the relationships, they're willing to come on and support and share their story. And that's literally the process I've had for the last 7.5, 8 years, is adding value to people, building relationships by being at the venues and the events where these influencers are speaking, and doing the best I can to be a good human being.
That's amazing. That's awesome. So adding value. Now, I know you're also involved with the nonprofit Pencils of Promise, and that certainly is, I think, adding value. Can you talk a little bit about that and what got you involved there?
Yeah, I feel like, you know, about 4 or 5 years ago, I was making a lot of money, you know, making multiple seven figures, and I wasn't adding anything towards really giving back with the money or with my promotional efforts. And I really felt like I wanted to. I was like, what's something that I believe in that I want to give back to? And my partner and I thought about building schools early on for kids, because I'm a big believer in education, even though I struggled extremely hard in school, and I had very bad grades all through college. I still knew the importance of learning and growth and education and being around a community of people during the day to really keep you on track to achieving great things. And so we decided to build schools for kids. And instead of doing it ourselves, I met Adam Braun, the founder of Pencils of Promise, and he was already doing it in a successful way and had a great infrastructure that I believed in. So I ended up building schools for him, then joined the advisory board, and now I've probably brought on 15, 20 other people to build schools as well. And it's just my mission to continue to serve and give back, because I believe it's our duty, once we're making more and more, then it's time to really give back more and more as well.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more. I think it's important to have a charitable attitude to help lift other people up who don't have the same advantages or don't have the same potential background to be as successful. And education is certainly an admirable place to start that process.
Yeah.
So your book comes out October, you said October 26th?
Yep, 27th.
27th. What's the one big, if you could say, this is the biggest takeaway that a person who picks this book up and reads it, this is the biggest impact factor, the biggest takeaway somebody's going to walk away at the end of the pages. What is that?
That's a good question. You know, from all the interviews I've done with all these incredible minds and successful people, and from the experiences of my life playing sports at a world-class level in three different sports, to building a business, to doing everything I've done, I found that there were eight common themes to be great in any area of life, these eight common principles. And what I would say is one of the most important things is emotional intelligence, because the key to success in life, in my mind, is relationships. And the key to successful relationships is vulnerability and being able to effectively connect with other people with where they're at in their lives, not where you're at. So what it comes down to is being your truest, realest self at all times, and being aware of your emotions, how they affect you, how they affect other people, and understanding how emotions affect other people from themselves as well, and how you can work with individuals. You know, again, the key to success is relationships. So if you can learn to flow with and through relationships in a powerful way, I believe it's going to be a lot easier to achieve greatness than without that skill.
Very, very well put. Very well put. If I want to send people, you know, to your website and to the School of Greatness, what's the best URL, or is there a website, or is it iTunes?
My personal site's lewishouse.com, and the book is at greatnessbook.com. And if you go there, you'll learn more about me, and my podcast is on iTunes, School of Greatness.
Awesome. Well, I greatly appreciate. I know you mentioned six interviews you've already done today, and so I know your schedule is just completely swamped. So, you know, I'm very, very thankful that you were able to take time out of that schedule and spend a little bit of it with me and help the people of the Gluten Free Society and functional medicine success. Just get information that might improve their lives and improve their health. As a result of improving their lives. So thanks so much for being here and sharing.
Thank you, Peter. I appreciate it.
All right. Well, Look forward to meeting you in person maybe one day.
And, of course.
And until then, you take care and have a great day.
Thanks so much. I appreciate it.
Bye-bye.